When it comes to religion, who has the last word? Who's the final authority in matters pertaining to God? Whose word can we trust? Or is there anyone who is trustworthy? How important is it that there be an ultimate authority in spiritual matters? These are some questions I'll address in this message, Jesus, the Faithful Witness. My text is taken from Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Precisely what is a faithful witness? A faithful witness is a true witness, and a witness that is trustworthy. It is a witness that faithfully reveals all of the truth. A faithful witness reports things the way they really are. He does not shade the truth or misrepresent it. He does not exaggerate it or underplay it. He makes no attempt to impress people or to please them. From the scriptural point of view, a faithful witness delivers the message that God has given, adding nothing to it and taking nothing from it. He declares what needs to be said, what is appropriate, and what serves the purpose of God. Our text says that Jesus is the faithful witness. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of him as a witness. God said of him, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." Isaiah 55:4. Revelation 3:14 refers to Jesus as the faithful and true witness. But precisely what is a witness? From the standpoint of language, a witness is one that has a personal interest in what he's seen. It is not a casual witness that happened by something that just occurred and is called to court to testify. That's not the kind of witness we're speaking about. In the sense of our text, a witness is someone who has seen and understands. He does not deliver a private interpretation or view of the matter, but knows what he's talking about. A witness is an authority in the matter of which he's speaking and has a vested interest in it. Now, as a faithful witness, Jesus will declare what he has heard from the Father, not merely because he's been told to do so, but because he's involved in the matter. He has a personal interest in the truth he is declaring and will respond appropriately to those who either receive or reject what he has to say. By referring to Jesus as a faithful witness, the scriptures are underscoring that Jesus does have something to say. He comes with a message, a word, a testimony. He's a speaking Jesus, a teaching Jesus, a witnessing Jesus. He's represented to us as one who is speaking from heaven, Hebrews 12:25. If you're not interested in what Jesus has to say, then you can have no part with him. I realize there are some people who only want to work in Jesus. By that they mean one who will resolve their problems, give them a lot of things, and make them feel happy. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus that God sent into the world. Jesus is a working Savior, to be sure. But he's working on God's eternal purpose, working on completing what he started, bringing many sons to glory, and preparing his people to dwell with him forever in glory. All of that requires a speaking Jesus, a witnessing Jesus, and a teaching Jesus. Let's take the book of Revelation as an example of the witnessing Jesus. After all, that is the place where he's called the faithful witness. Think what Jesus has witnessed concerning himself. He's a faithful witness, and therefore these things are not only true and faithful, he is to be embraced as this kind of Savior. You cannot ignore the faithful witness and be saved. Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Revelation 1:8. He's the Alpha. The things that are true and valid start with him. He's their author, the Alpha and the beginning. He also carries them forward to their completion. He's the Omega and the ending. He does not finish what men start or allow men to finish what he starts. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's a faithful witness. Those who believe this will not major on asking Jesus to finish what they began and seek a way to finish what he started. They will trust in him to finish what he begins and for themselves to be personally involved in the work. As a faithful witness, Jesus says that he is and was and is to come, Revelation 1:8. When you think of him, you must recall how he was. He was in the beginning, was with God, and was God. He was in the form of God and created all things. Ponder how he's already destroyed the devil, spoiled principalities and powers, taken away sin, conquered death, and overcome the world. You must think of him as he is. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is seated at the right hand of God and ever lives to make intercession for us. The government is presently upon his shoulder, and he's governing the kingdom of God. He's giving repentance and remission of sins, feeding his sheep, building his church. He's the mediator of the new covenant, the shepherd, the bishop of our souls. Let your mind dwell upon the fact that he is to come. He will come in all of his glory. He will come to gather his people unto himself. He will come to judge the world. He will come to raise the dead. He will come to reward every man according to his work. Every eye will see him when he comes again. See, Jesus is a faithful witness. He is, and was, and is to come. But he also says he's the Almighty. All authority has been given unto him. Angels and authorities and powers have been given to him. All power in heaven and earth belong to him. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God through him. He's able to keep those who trust him from falling. He can make them stand and bring them all safely to glory. He truly is the Almighty and has been a faithful witness in making that declaration. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now that's a true representation of the case. For Jesus is the faithful witness. He's living. He was dead, but now he's alive, alive forevermore. That means he has no more association with death, none at all. He has no part with dead religion, dead works, or a dead profession. Where there's no spiritual life, Jesus is neither present nor working. He has nothing to do with lifelessness and unproductive religion. He's alive and alive forevermore. There's no retrogression or backsliding or going backward in him. Those who are really connected with him are not losing ground, diminishing in faith, or failing to grow. Furthermore, Jesus has the keys of hell and death. Those are realms that have to do with what takes place after men leave the body. Here, hell refers to the abode of the dead, where departed spirits dwell. Other versions translate it Hades. Death has to do with the grave where the body is interred. Jesus has the keys that will empty both domains at the resurrection so that departed souls will be united with the resurrected bodies, putting on immortality, as described in 1 Corinthians 15, 53-54. Because he has the keys of death and hell, the grave will lose its victory and the sting of death will be negated. The time is coming when the redeemed will shout, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. See, Jesus is a faithful witness. He's precisely what he declares himself to be. Jesus witnesses, I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Revelation 2:23. That's the way it is. He searches the hearts of men, discovering their motives, their wills, their preferences, and their ambitions. He knows what they think about, the Bible, his church, and the world as well. Everything is naked and open to him, and nothing is hidden from him, not so much as a single thought. He sees the deep longings of the heart that's sensitive to him. He sees the dullness of the heart that does not think about him at all. He knows who's living by every word of God and who's living without exposing their mind to the word of God. When he searches the hearts of men, he does so as the one who loves righteousness and hates iniquity. He does so as one who is inclined to the humble and contrite heart and hates the proud countenance, and the one who sows seeds of discord among brethren. He's going to give to everyone according to their works. If they have done evil, they'll receive evil. If they've done good in the eyes of the Lord, they'll receive good. What he gives to them will perfectly match what they've given to him. See, he's a faithful witness, and it's precisely what he says he is. Think of how Jesus, as a faithful witness, addressed his churches. He diagnosed the situation precisely and then told them what he'd found. In Revelation 2:16, he told the church of Ephesus that he knew they could not tolerate those who were evil. He knew that they'd put to test those who said they were apostles and found them to be liars. Oh, he's a faithful witness and told them what they were. He said he knew that they'd worked hard, been busy in religious matters, but he had something against them. They'd left their first love. Their affection for him had cooled, and they were not as close to him as they once were. He told them if they did not correct that condition, he'd remove their church. See, he's a faithful witness and tells things the way they really are. In Revelation 2:8 through 11, he told the church in Smyrna that they really were rich, even though they were experiencing poverty in this world and were being opposed by some of Satan's children. In Revelation 2:12 through 17, he told the church in Pergamos that he knew they had been standing for him in the midst of the stronghold of Satan, and he commended them for it. But as a faithful witness, he also knew they were tolerating some in their number who were teaching false doctrine and holding to error. In Revelation 2:18 through 29, he told the church in Thyatira that he knew their works were more and better than they were in the beginning. But he also knew that they were allowing a false prophetess among them who was leading his servants astray, so that they committed fornication and involved themselves in idolatrous practices. In Revelation 3:1 through 6, the faithful witness told the church of Sardis that they had a name that they were alive, but they were really dead, dead toward God. What little good that was found in them was ready to die, and their works were not perfect before God. See? Jesus is a faithful witness. In Revelation 3, 7-13, the faithful witness told the church in Philadelphia that he knew their works and how they'd maintained them in an excellent manner, even though their strength had been sapped by persecution. He assured them he would make their enemies bow before them and admit that Jesus had loved the ones they'd been persecuting. In Revelation 3, 14, the faithful witness told the church in Laodicea that they were lukewarm and that he could not stand them as they were. He was about to spew them out of his mouth. He said that they'd boasted of their opulence and how much they had, when in reality they were really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked in his eyes. Now there you have Christ's assessment of seven very real churches. They all had a good beginning. They all had been identified with Jesus and were referred to as his churches. However, they had not all continued in his goodness. Five of them were in an unacceptable state before him and had some repenting to do. There were some things they had to stop doing and other things they had to start doing. Jesus said all these things as a faithful witness. What he had said was not merely something to think about, but things to act upon. He'd given a proper assessment of their condition, and their status before God depended upon how they reacted to that assessment. He is the faithful witness. Ponder the matters on which Jesus has spoken and consider your reaction to them. He's a faithful witness, and as such must be heeded. He has declared the truth about the natural heavens and earth. They're going to pass away. Matthew 24:35. How then can this world be the most important one, or life in it be the main life? He has said that we will give an account for every idle word that we speak, every bit of pointless chatter, nonsense, and misrepresentations. Matthew 12:36. How then can men afford to be slipshod in the way that they speak? Jesus has said that the person who believes and is baptized will be saved, but that the one who does not believe will be damned. Mark 16:16. Who then will dare to live as though those words were never spoken? Jesus is the faithful witness. Jesus said that from one perspective, the eternal destiny of men will be determined by how they've treated his people. Matthew 25:31-46. How then are you responding to those who have put their trust in him and are living for him? As a faithful witness, Jesus said that unless men repent, they will perish. Luke 13:3-5. How then can any person dare to continue in sin or refuse to turn away from wayward living? Listener, I'm calling upon you to ponder the things Jesus has said. Become familiar with him, for he's the faithful witness. He has declared things the way they really are. No person who ignores him is safe, and all who build their lives around his words are wise and will be honored by God. Truly, Jesus is the faithful witness. Now, there's something to think about.